Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bible with you. Didn't know if I was going to make it through high school, but now I'm his son-in-law, so I know he couldn't be happier. I aim to please like that, so. Ephesians chapter 6, if you are there, we're going to be reading verses 10 down through verse 17. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This is a very familiar passage. It's one that we use a lot in Sunday school for illustrations. We see pictures of people using the whole armor of God and talking about what the different things mean. And clearly we don't have time to get through all of the parts of the armor tonight. But I just want to take a few minutes and focus on a couple things. In verse 10 here, we're told that we are able to be strong in the Lord. It's something we can do. We can stand by God's might. And then in verse 11, we're told again that we need to be ready to face the devil. We can stand in God's might, but we need to be prepared to do so that we can face the devil and stand against him. We get to verse 12, and he starts comparing it to wrestling. He's saying we wrestle against Satan as evil tempts us, and it starts to tire us, and it wants to wear on us, but we can wrestle with him when we stand strong in God's might. And so then he says this. He says, "Wherefore?" He says, "I'm telling you this all because I got something else I want to share with you. The reason I'm telling you this is, the reason I'm warning you that you're going to wrestle against the devil, the reason I'm warning you to be ready to face the devil is because I have some more to tell you." And what he wants to tell them is how to stand against it. And so as we get to verses 13 through 17, we see a description of how we need to be equipped if we are going to stand against the devil. If we're going to be able to be a successful Christian in this life, he gives us this illustration that can be visualized by this suit of armor. And I love the picture here because I love to visualize things. When I'm reading the Bible, I'm always making pictures of things. How did these things look? How did these things happen? And when I read this verse, I picture, you know, the suit of armor that the people wore in the Dark Ages. Yes, I realize this was several hundred years after this passage was written, and they were Romans, and they were wearing a different type of armor. But it makes me think about how did they fight back then? How was the actual combat occurring? I've always liked fighting. I probably shouldn't admit this, but I did. I do. Not that I want to like be obstinate and start that kind of fight. I enjoy physical contact sports. I started when I was in sixth grade wrestling, and I did that all through high school. And as soon as I got out of high school, I needed something else to do. So I did Muay Thai kickboxing competitively. And then after that, I did a little bit of boxing in there too. I like to fight. It's fun. There's nothing like a competition between two people. Some people like to say, like my sister-in-law, that everybody is a winner. In boxing or kickboxing or wrestling, not everybody's a winner. One of you is going to leave in pain. Sometimes one of you is going to leave knocked out. And that's what happens. It's combat. It is fighting. It is physical. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to engage in. If you've never done it, I encourage you. Join a club and start karate or kickboxing or something like this. It's a great way to work out in the new year. You have this resolution to lose weight. Do it through kickboxing. It'll be a blast. That was all in my notes, so I'm sorry for sharing that with you, but I enjoy the competition of it. So when I read about the whole armor of God, I start thinking about fighting. And I start thinking about how is this going to take place? How is this going to occur? And I start imagining being suited up in this coat of armor. And I'm putting on this big coat of mail, you know, this big heavy thing with all these chain links on it. And it's draped all over them. And then they put on the big breastplate. And they put on the big gauntlet gloves. And they look like the Tin Man kind of from Wizard of Oz. And they're walking around. And they're ready to do battle. And I read that. And I'm like, you know what would be really awesome? I would love to have the opportunity to be in one of those suits and swing a sword and see what it felt like. I think that would be an incredible thing. What does it feel like to be a knight like that? I would also like to be hit with a sword. I like fighting, and I would like the pain of it, okay? I don't know why. I have no reason for this, but I kind of want, I don't want to be, you know, have my arm cut off and be maimed, but, you know, maybe the side of the blade, just to see how much pain you feel going through a coat of mail and a big metal armor on top of it. It's just something I've wondered about. And And Paul's giving us this picture here of equipment that we need to go out and fight. And so now you have this picture of this guy ready to go out and fight. He's ready to do battle. And he's girded with the, his loins are girded with the truth. We see that. He's got the breastplate of righteousness on him. He's got the shield of faith. He's got his helmet of salvation. And he's got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And as Christians, we like to dwell on these things. We like to dwell on faith and on truth and on righteousness. We like to recall our own salvation because these things are wonderful things to think about. And there is great, great truths in every one of them. But I want you to see tonight how these are all pictured. They're all pictured as defensive items. It's the loins girt about. It's talking about the leather girdle type thing that the Romans wore at the time. And they had that going around their loins. And then they had the breastplate of righteousness, which again is something that they would wear over their chest and over their back that would defend them. They have the shield. They have a helmet. All of these are defensive. Even a sword. A sword is both defensive and offensive. And so you get to verse 15, and this is where I want to spend the next couple minutes. And it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." This is a piece of equipment that's unique from all of the others. It's a piece of equipment that is only offensive in nature. It's only about going on the offensive. These other items are defensive, except for, again, the sword can be both defensive and offensive. But your feet are meant to advance. I was in the military for 8 years and 1 month. I got the extra 1 month for free because it's a bureaucracy and they lose track of things. But in the Army, and you're going forth, you want to go out and you go and fight, and they give you a pair of boots. The very first thing you do pretty much is you get your uniform and you get your boots and you start breaking them in. And they give you boots because you are to go from place to place to place and fight. They don't give you boots to retreat. You don't ever have a class in basic training about how to get away from the enemy. No, they give you boots because you are meant to advance at all times. You are to take the fight to the enemy so that you can destroy them, so that you can defeat them. And what Paul is telling us here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15 is that if we are going to have continued success in the Christian life, it can't be all defensive. It's not just focusing on your salvation. It's not just focusing on your faith. It's not just focusing on righteousness. It's not just focusing on things that have been done. It's focusing also on advancing on the enemy. And how does it say to do that? With the gospel of Christ. Paul makes clear that reaching others with the gospel is part of what helps us to be a successful Christian. Yes, we need to do these other things, but if we are not advancing, then we have a problem. John R. Rice, he compares this text to saying it's like in football that the best offense is a good defense. I love that thought. I think of the Colts when I think of that thought, when we had Peyton Manning, because we never had a defense. I think of Super Bowl 41, and we had probably the best defense we had in a while. But the only reason we really won those games that year is because we had Peyton Manning and we had a Colts team that kept the other team's offense off the field. Our defense was our offense. Our defense was the fact that Peyton Manning could throw the ball down the field and keep the other team off the field. And the Bears in that game, they only had the ball for 22 minutes. It's a pretty good defense that our offense projected. And so Satan, he's going to constantly try to discourage us. He's going to put us through trials. He's going to put us through tribulation. He wants to tempt us to fall. He wants us to fail. He wants us to be on the defense. Because when we're on the defense, we're not doing anything for Christ. We're not advancing for him, and we're accomplishing very little for him when we do that. And so we see that most of the armor of God is defensive, because we need that. We need to be able to take his attacks. We need it for our protection. We need it to help us stand. But if we want to go out and actually battle Satan, to have success fully in our Christian lives, we have to start striking blows against him over and over again. We can't constantly get beat up in our lives. We'll get discouraged. And now think about this. You're in your Bible and you're studying and you're building your faith, which is a good thing. You're building your knowledge of God, which is a good thing. You're reflecting on your salvation, which is a good thing. You know you're assured of heaven, which is a good thing. But if it's just that and you're just taking blows from Satan over and over again and you're going through trial and you're going through trial and you're going through trial, what are you seeing God do through you that's going to encourage you again? You need to go out and you need to be on the offensive. You need to tell people about Christ so that when you see a life changed, you understand the purpose of you and it encourages you. And so tonight, my challenge to you is simply this. Stop being a defensive Christian and go on the offense. If I were to title this message, I would title it this, be offensive. I know it's a term that we don't like to use, But I'm studying this message, and I walk into Speedway tonight, and I'm thinking, I'm checking out, buying bags of ice for tonight's fellowship, and I thought this lady looks really kind of irritated, and I said, hey, can I tell you one thing? I would like to have you come to our church sometime. And she got this look on my face, and I thought, I need to be offensive. Not in the fact of being obstinate, but need to be on the offense. You need to be on the offense for Christ. So challenge yourself this year, be successful as a Christian, and go out and be on the offense for him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the word you've given us. We thank you for everything you tell us and how you instruct us in so many ways that we can enjoy the Christian life and live it successfully for you. Help us to go out and do that this year. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.